Too many Christians have given up the path of endurance, the path of pressing in. They tried for a while, but they've given up because they ran into their natural man and found it to be not as easy to tame as they wish. Many of us have gone to the altar call over and over and to our prayer time, asking God, begging God to change us. I don't want this anymore. Take this out of me. Remove this from me, God, please. And we're confused and wondering why some things left and some things didn't leave. And why am I stuck with this battle? Well, that's the natural man. And God, if you were to replace your natural man, you'd be in heaven and waiting for the trumpet to sound. You wouldn't be no good on this earth. So that's probably the main reason he had to leave us in this body. And in this body is also the natural part of your soul where all your struggles come from. But thank God there's a pathway for everyone to walk into victory and a pathway for everyone to transform into all that God has for you and for your future. And thank God we don't have to be discouraged that it's not fair. Now, your first birth through your natural parents, you didn't get to choose who your parents were. You didn't get to choose what country you were born. You didn't get to choose if you were male or female. We didn't get to choose our color of our hair, our eyes. We didn't get to choose a whole lot. And so in that, there's a lot of unfairness. Some people are born better looking than others. Some people are born with more talent than others. Some people are born into healthy families, some into dysfunctional families. Some are born in Christian nations and others are born in non-Christian nations. And that wasn't God's choice. That was from the will of man. That's the law of Genesis that we've talked about in the past. God didn't choose your first birth. He found you. Now in that, you could find yourself at the altar at a church or on your knees somewhere asking God, asking Jesus in your heart. And that's your second birth. You're born again. Now that's where it's equal. You and I were born again and we received the same nature, not the same individual nature, but the same nature of Christ. So the nature of Christ in me is the same as in you. It's not different. It's not going to have lesser standards. It's the same nature. And our inner man was also quickened to life, from death to life, and is in righteous and holiness, as righteous as Jesus. So your inner man was born again by the new nature, but your outer man was left the same. And what that means is if we were to live our life through our outward man, outward abilities, our outward talents, our outward skills, our outward emotions, our outward natural soul, we're going to be different. We're going to have different expectations that if you can sing and I can't, then you're the one they're going to ask to sing. They're not going to ask me. But your inner man is not better or worse than anyone else. We all start at the same place. Remember my story of the two men that came to my service fictionally? One was a doctor, and he was in his 50s, thin. He had all his hair, and he had his beautiful wife and his 3.2 kids there in church. First time, never born again. Drove a nice car, wealthy, healthy, successful in life, a successful family, and he came to church. Well, he's not born again. Everything he has came from this dark world, from his dark nature. Even the good things came from the darkness. Also, someone picked up a homeless guy, same age as our doctor, and they offered him a lunch if he'd come to church. And he came, and he's sitting over on the other side of the church, and his clothes smell. He's been homeless. His family gave up on him. He's an alcoholic. He's not healthy. He's lost a lot of his hair. He's the same age as our doctor. But he's not born again. So both of these men, in their success and in their failures, are still in a dark species. They're in the human race. They're living from the attributes of their first birth. And that could be some of the reason, not all the reason, but that could be some of the reason why there's such a difference in their success and failure. Now, I preach such a good message in this pretend sermon that both men come to the altar and get born again. They both kneel down before God and ask Jesus in their heart, the doctor and the homeless guy. Now, they get born again. Instantly, they receive a new nature. They both have the same nature, not the same, they're individually different, but one did not get a better nature than the other. And that nature is light, is no longer darkness. Their old nature was quickened from darkness to light. So instantly they're born again. They are now children of God. Now, not just that, but also their inner body, the spiritual man, the inner body was also brought to light by that new nature. So now it also is righteous, and it is able to now receive the love and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. But their outward man was left in darkness. So now, here they are, both born again. The point is, they both have the same opportunity to go as far into God as they want. Now, the doctor, in some of our churches around the world today, we might just say, hey, now that you're born again, please turn around and speak into the mic and please instruct us, our church, because you have health, you have wealth, you're prosperous, your family's good, got all your hair, you're in shape. Will you please turn around and instruct us how to have those things, the promises of God? The problem is all that he had attained of those things came from the darkness. They may look nice, they might be nice things and not bad things, but his ability to get there came from his natural man, from the dark natured of the human race. So he can't instruct you how to have it, because that's like someone who's 6'9" saying, hey, let's play basketball, and you're 5'2", and saying, hey, here you go, here's a basketball, and if you practice really hard, you can be as good as me, but you're 5'2". That's unfair, because his natural man was gifted with height. And yes, he had to practice, but a 5'2" guy or girl can practice all they want, and they're never going to be a professional basketball player. I don't see how that could happen. The natural giftings and lackings from their first birth makes us different than each other. But in your second birth, you have as much opportunity as anyone else to grow into all that God has for you. And that's really the message of transformation, is to build up that inner man with the knowledge of God and let the fruit of the new nature grow in that inner man. Let the love grow forward like fruit and the peace of God. The two men standing before me, you may think the doctor has more advantage than the homeless guy because he's got a lot of success already. But really, I would say that he's probably got a disadvantage because his life is already pretty good. So he may not feel as it is necessary to spend time growing that inner man, praying in tongues and worshiping. He may not be as motivated, where the homeless guy knows that without God, he's not going to make it. I understand, because when I was 18, I discovered that I had some dysfunctions in me. And like I said before, I was raised young by professional heathens. We weren't raised in church, so we had to learn more as we went in our older years. But 18, I started serving God, and I discovered I had some dysfunctions. Well, at 18, if you don't get rid of your dysfunctions, no one's going to do it for you. And I knew from 18 years old in serving God that I needed God's help if I was ever going to succeed, even in life, not alone as a minister. I didn't even know I could be a minister at that time. And so the homeless guy maybe have a little bit of an advantage because he's more motivated to rely on the tools that cause you to grow and mature. He may be a little more encouraged to pray in tongues and to fast and worship and meditate the word, because he knows this is my only chance to really overcome my struggles. Well, the message of transformation is all about building up the inner man and living from that built-up inner man and mortifying the outward man. But many Christians have a good outward man. They live in a good country. They have a good family. They got good health. And so they never really realize they're living out of their outward man. They're not growing in God. They're just serving God. And that, for years, that was my walk, was I was serving God, but I wasn't growing in God. And thank God I met Pastor Dave Roberson, or God sent Pastor Dave into my life, and he taught about the power of, and the endurance of praying in tongues. Because in this path of transformation, it can be discouraging when you face the same thing over and over and you're trying to change. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Just be encouraged, to help you to be encouraged that the path of transformation seems slower, seems longer, not always happy. My flesh is not always happy to go to the prayer closet, or it's never really happy to fast. But this is the path, this is the walk of the Spirit. They did a study many years ago in Canada. They did a documentary where they took a bunch of 7-year-old children and they interviewed them and asked them what their desires were, what their fears were, what they liked, what made them happy, what made them sad. And they interviewed a bunch of these 7-year-old kids. And then 7 years later, they grabbed the same group and asked them the same questions individually. And then 7 years, and it was quite interesting because you see them grow up after the interview. It skipped 7 years and then skipped another 7 years and then another 7 years. It went all the way up till I think they were 42, maybe 49. And in the documentary, they were proving that at 7 years old, that your personality is pretty much set, that all these people overall, most of them had the same personality, the same likes and dislikes, the same fears as when they were 7. That it didn't change, age did not change much of the personality traits that you have when you're 7. And that's a good argument to really invest into your children when they're young, to make them strong and healthy, mature when they're 7, so that they're strong the rest of their life. But the idea of that is that it's very difficult to change some things in your life. That's the natural man, the natural part of your soul. That's the, when we talked about in Colossians chapter 3, it says for the old man to put out the old man and his deeds. The his deeds is what I like, because it says the natural soul, the natural man is no longer you. It's the old you. It's the leftover from the old nature. That now you have to mortify the desires, the emotions, the deeds of the natural man. And so that part of your life can be very difficult and stubborn when it comes to following God. And it will negotiate to try to get you to find a softer landing. Hey, let's go to church, okay, but let's go to a church that's nicer. We'd have Pastor Dave preaching and a couple will come and sit in the service, and he says, you know, you say you don't have time to pray, you don't have time to worship, because you got to work so much. I understand that. But, you know, if you sold your big house and bought a smaller house, you only need one TV, you don't need 5, and you didn't buy a fancy car, you bought a cheap car, you wouldn't have as many expenses then, would you? So now if you did that, you would have a reason or an excuse to say you don't have time to pray. And usually, without fail, one of the couple, the man or the woman, would go, amen, amen, I've been looking for this, I'm hungry for God, amen. And then the partner, that person would say, oh me, oh my, I don't like this church, there's something on, the people aren't nice. And let's try to find a church that'll let us stay where we are and accept us where we are. And that's the fight of every Christian. How far into God are you willing to go? Because the walk of transformation is one of mortifying the outward man and building up the new man. Or actually, it's more better I say it that it's building up the new man as you mortify the old man along the way. We deny ourselves, we resist the flesh the instant we're born again. But you don't have to live in that struggle all the time. And it's that struggle with the natural man is where and why I think many people stop the pathway of transformation because they're discouraged. They lose heart. I've been trying to change this part of my life for a long time. And I can go for a while, but then it pulls me back that way. I'm trying to overcome this desire, temptation, flaw, weakness, emotional struggle. And I do good for a while, but then I end up back in the same place. I prayed for God to remove it. He didn't remove it. I've asked God, I don't want it. I told him I don't want it, but it's still there. And this is the language that many Christians will use when they say, this is just who I am. God made me this way. The world likes to say it, you know, this is the way I am. God made me this way. I am born this way. Well, you may have been born that way and raised that way, but now that you're born again, it no longer has the right to tell you who you are. The only place you'll find that can tell you who you are, the only book that you'll ever read that can tell you who you are, is the Bible. No other book can help. Now, the world has lots of books to encourage you, but the real you is inside of the old you, and you've got to build up the inner man. And so you may have been born that way, but you don't have to stay that way. That's the power of transformation. Unfortunately, many people, many Christians aren't given the tools or the pathway to confront. They're told, love your neighbor. So they go and they love the neighbor, and they pick the nice neighbor that lives next door, the sweet lady that brings them pies and is nice and quiet, and oh, I love that neighbor. I love you. But they don't love the neighbor where the dog breaks into their yard and leaves gifts and the wrong kind of gifts and they party all night. That neighbor you're supposed to love too. And so we tell you to love your neighbor and not hate anyone and to be nice. And we all try to do that. But really, that's in the effort of the outward man. We all end up running into our natural soul. And as we've been talking a little bit about inner healing, the terminology, and trying to define biblically what inner healing is versus naturally what some people call inner healing. Naturally, there is an idea of inner healing that we'll just go and hug you until you feel better about yourself. And it's not necessarily about overcoming. And as a pastor, that's the first rule is I'm going to help you overcome your outward man. Now, we do have people that have given up. They've quit trying. And they're not homeless people, but they've quit trying to overcome their flesh. And they made a way, and are trying to make a way to stay the same. Because every time they've tried to overcome their outward man, they got beat up and they've given up. They just accepted, this is who I am. I'm serving God this way. And that's really what inspired me about praying in tongues. The way Pastor Dave taught it was, don't feel bad that you're struggling and fighting. Now listen, because this is the part where I'm encouraging you. Don't give up because you're in a struggle, and don't feel bad because you're in a struggle and fighting and battling something. The fact that you know you're struggling with something and you're trying to overcome it is a sign that you haven't given up. And it doesn't have to just be smoking and drinking. It could be personality flaw. It could be an anger, a jealousy, a pride, an envy, a selfishness. I mean, we can go on and on. It could be drinking and smoking too, but those are the easy ones. The hidden ones are the pride pretending to be humble. And I've watched people who want to feel purposeful give their life to someone who's not trying to change. Really, there are people called to that. That's a special calling, to love someone till they get to heaven. And God has to call you to that. But for the rest of us, God wants us to keep growing and maturing, to keep overcoming, to keep confronting the failings and the struggles in our life until we overcome them and actually mortify the root of them. That's the message of mortification. I want to read here in 2 Corinthians. And I want to let you know that you're not failing if you haven't given up. If you're still trying, and you're still trying to pray, and I know there's times that we pray and then we kind of weasel out of prayer, but if you still are praying, and you're still worshiping God, and you're doing the tools that we teach, and you haven't given up, you're going to win. Some days it doesn't feel like it. Some days it feels like this is not working, it's never going to work. Again, we've all been discouraged. I've asked God to change me, and he didn't. So that means he must have just want me to be this way. There'll be a time you get a new outward body, and then you won't have any more struggle of identity or any more struggle of knowing who you are, because you'll look just like Jesus. You'll be as righteous as Jesus is. Your whole body, soul, and spirit will be whole, completely light. But right now, it's not like that. Right now, you have an outward man, an outward part of your soul that is left in darkness, and that's the source of your battle. And once you decided, I'm not accepting who my outward man says I am as who I am. I'm accepting the Word of God as who I am. What the Word says I am, that's who I am, not what my outward man says. Because if you really think about it, if that documentary has any truth to it, that at the age of 7 your personality is pretty much set, that you're not going to, the rest of your life you're going to stay pretty much the same in personality, then what that says is that you're having a 7-year-old dictate to you the rest of your life how to be happy, how to be safe, how to be complete, how to be successful. But there's another voice in your life called your inner man and the Holy Spirit that is saying to you, I have so much more for you. I have so much more for you, but you have to grow into it and let it mature inside of you. Let's start over in 2 Corinthians. We'll actually start in chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, this word Spirit here is not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the new nature. That the Lord, the new nature is Christ. That's Christ in you. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the nature of God is, there's liberty. You're no longer bound to the Jewish law, is what he's saying pretty much. You're liberated from legalism. But we all, verse 18, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. So you're looking in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And what's that saying is if you look in a mirror, you will find there is a nature of righteousness in you. That's the new nature. That's the seed that God put in you, allowing you to be righteous. And if you were to slice open that new nature like a seed and see the image that's in there, there's an image in that new nature, and that image is a mature Jesus, mature in love, peace, joy, and in holiness. That image is already in you, but it's inside of the nature like a seed. Now it must grow forward and come forth. The fruit of the Spirit grows forward into the inner body, into the inner part of your soul. The love of God can grow in there where you become that love. You don't just talk about it, you become it. So we look into the mirror, we see the nature of Christ in me, and as I look at that nature, I then am beginning to transform. I look at that nature, and now my life is going to transform into that nature. So I actually begin to be part of that. I am like Jesus. I'm just not trying to act like Jesus. I become like him because that's his fruit of that, his righteousness. I can actually have the love of Jesus in my life. It's not instant. How many times has someone done you wrong and you said, Lord Jesus, help me to love them, because if not, I'm going to beat them up. It's not just instant. So we are to transform into that image. Therefore, verse 1 of chapter 4, since we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we do not lose heart. So what is the ministry? Not to go out and win the world. We should all, every one of us should tell our testimony, share the love of God, pray for people. That is not your ministry. That's just part of being a Christian. The ministry is this transformation from the new nature, looking in it, seeing the possibilities of having the love and peace and joy and the holiness of Christ in me. And I now have to work at allowing that transformation to take place so that I can grow the love of Jesus from the nature into my inner man. And from there, I mortify the outward man. So we have this ministry. We have received mercy. We do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Why would he tell you do not lose heart if it's possible or probable that it's going to be difficult, that it's not going to be easy? There's things that God told me 30 years ago that I thought would come to pass in 10 days, and I'm still waiting for it to come to pass. We have to endure. We have to not lose heart. This here is where I want to show you. He doesn't change the message all through chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart. There it is again. So he's telling you about this pathway of transformation, of facing the outward man, groaning, waiting to be clothed with the new outward body. And he says, do not lose heart, because it's easy to lose heart when you're facing something that doesn't want to follow God. And it's in you. It's not something else. It's in you. It's easier to preach to other people about their problems than to face our own problems. That's why I'm a preacher. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. This is the transformation that he's talking about. Our outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. This is the pathway of transformation. Every day, I pray in tongues. Every day, I worship. Every day, I'll read the Bible. Some days, I might fast. But these are the tools we have, and what happens is, as I'm feeding those things, the nutrients through praying in the Holy Ghost and worshiping God and meditating the Word, this image within the seed, like a plant, begins to come forward and grow into my inner man. And then the fruit of love starts to show up, and I'm able to love without effort, because it is a fruit. Fruit comes without effort from a mature tree. It comes. And then once it's there, I'm able to love even the mean neighbor, not just the nice neighbor. In fact, I can't help it but love the mean neighbor, where people ask you, why are you putting up with that? I love him. I want to see him in heaven. See, that's the difference of human love from the natural man versus the love of Christ that grows in you. And so we grow it first in the inward man. That's the renewing day by day. And once it grows, we're able to mortify and kill the fake love that we've been operated in. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That is your new external, outward, eternal body. Not your inner man, your outward man that you're fighting with right now. The one that tells you you don't need to lay your life down. The one that tells you that you're insecure. Or the one, all those parts of the natural man, the natural part of your soul, will be fall off of you or be quickened in a moment when the trumpet sounds. But until then, you've got to deal with it. And that's where it can be easy to lose heart. I've told myself to do this, and I told myself I'd never do it again, and I just keep getting pulled back. When I was over the Bible college years ago, I had to deal with all kinds of young people. I wasn't much older myself. And I'd find that people would do follow the rules when you were watching, but when you weren't watching. One of the rules was for first year Bible college students, you were not allowed to date. So here's all these young men and women dressing good, praying, seeking God. they call it bridal college, a place to get married for a reason. And you'd find out that in the first year students there, hey, so-and-so saw you out with that girl. Oh, yeah, we weren't dating. We were just having dinner and a movie together, just friends. We weren't dating. And so, like, people end up doing what they want to do, even if you put rules on them. The real answer is transformation. Because then, in themselves, they're desiring to grow more and more into God. For we know if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's our outward man. That's the new body. It's not going to fight you. It's going to be as righteous as your new nature and as righteous as your inner body and actually as righteous as Jesus. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is in heaven. That's the reason you do not lose heart, because there is a groaning, a fight against your flesh. It's easy if you have an argument with someone and you walk away. I'm done. I can't take it anymore. You're not listening. You're not even trying to understand me. I'm going to take a break. Goodbye. And you walk out, slam the door. But what happens if that argument is in your own mind, in your own life, and you go shut the door and there you are. You didn't leave it. There's nowhere to hide from your outward man. You have to accept it or confront it. Too many churches are preaching how to accept the nice things of the natural man and try to stop doing the bad things. The natural man itself needs to be mortified, put in his place, made to bow its knee to God and the inward man that's in you. That's the groaning, waiting to have the new outward body. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, if you go to heaven before the trumpet sounds, you're kind of naked. You're not wearing an outward body. You're just you and your inward body. And your outward body, you're waiting for it. So don't worry, because it's coming at the trumpet. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. So it's not that we want to harm our body or we just want to get out of earth. It's just that it's such a fight. It's such a struggle. Once you decide, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be the person of God that He wants me to be. And you start to fight the right fight. See, if you fight the wrong fight, your flesh will agree, yeah, let's go to church. But let's go to a church that doesn't ask me to mortify, that doesn't ask you to mortify me. So your flesh will go to a church where, and happily, where you're not taught to pray in tongues or fast or meditate the word or worship for long times, because those things build up the inner man and cause you to have strength to mortify the outward man. Along this path, we are responsible to deny ourselves and to resist. But I don't want you discouraged if you've been resisting and denying and you get discouraged because it hasn't changed yet. It's coming. You just keep doing it. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality will be swallowed up by life. So that tells you that the new nature swallows up the outward man and spits out a new, shiny outward man. Now, he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit. Now, here the word Spirit means the Holy Spirit, as a guarantee. So we are always confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So now, what he's saying is the Holy Spirit was given to you to come alongside of you and is given to you as a guarantee. I think the King James uses the word earnest, but we understand that as a down payment. When we bought our house, we put a down payment of a certain amount, and then we make payments every month until the house is paid in full. So the guarantee is the down payment. And that's the imagery that Paul's painting here, that the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, was given to you as a down payment that if you keep making the payments every day or every week and you don't stop, eventually you'll have paid off your house. You'll have completed the fullness of what God has for you. In other words, that image that's in you, that's as a seed, the image of Jesus in you, can absolutely come forward in you. Love, joy, peace, not of this world, the actual love of Jesus can come forward into your life to its fullness in you, not just preachers, in you. And that's the hope of transformation, that I have the Holy Spirit as a down payment, but I got to make payments. That's why we don't lose heart. Don't stop praying. Don't stop. Don't lower the standard so that you can say it's a win, but it's really a loss. There are some things that are hard to overcome. There's some things that can feel impossible. And I'm talking about the homeless man and the doctor that got saved. They both started at the same place. Both of them now, if they both prayed and did the right things through prayer and worship, would grow at the same pace. The doctor can't say, I've got all these good things, and then add that and have a head start. No, it didn't give him a head start. The only benefit is that doctor may be more disciplined to spend time in prayer with the Holy Spirit than the homeless guy. But the homeless guy knows he needs help, so he may be more beneficial. But we hit things in life. Life itself is not fair. Listen, look at me. Life is not fair. You are fighting things that you shouldn't have had to fight because of something that happened in your past, because of a situation, either by people, by health, by your own doing, but it's not fair. You have to fight harder to do things than other people. And for you, I want you to know, don't lose heart. You're not behind. It may feel like it. It may feel like you're behind, but you're not. You're not. You didn't start behind. You started at the same place. If you pray and worship God, this word is true. The Holy Spirit was given as a guarantee, a down payment for you to complete the transformation, to walk like Christ. Well, I've tried to love and didn't work. Yeah, but we're not trying to love. We're trying to grow the love of God in us, in our inner man. Then we can't help but love. The answer that I loved from Pastor Dave that brought me so much hope was, don't be discouraged and don't hate yourself because you're fighting the same thing or ugly things over and over. And I have a, I don't know if it's a gift or a talent, but I can spot when people are trying to get you, teach me how to be a pastor. They're trying to teach me how to treat them because they want to be loved. You need to love me. Well, I love you, but I love you enough not to leave you the same. I work better with people who are trying to grow and trying to mature. If you stop, there's other ministers that you can have that will love you. My job as a pastor is to believe in you, to believe that God can do in you, and to encourage you to keep praying, encourage you to keep worshiping God. Don't stop. I don't care how many times you stumbled or struggled. Get back up, keep praying, because this works. But in life, we hit things, and it can be all kinds of things, marriage, finances, our children, our health. We get hit all kinds of things, and especially brokenness of the natural man that can seem impossible. And you've tried and you've tried. I had a situation a number of years ago. I was traveling. We just came back from Japan and were getting ready to go to Brazil when I suffered a stroke. And it surprised me because I never would have thought that that could have happened to me. And for the last many years, I've been dealing with the repercussions of that stroke. It's not my stroke. It's a stroke that hit me. And God spoke to me and said that you're already healed. Just keep walking through it. But in that battle, I've had to get up every day for a number of years with my left side affected and not working as it should. I confess and I pray. There's nothing a doctor can do for me. There's no pill. There's no operation. There's nothing anyone can do for me to help me. I do physical therapy. I do what I can. in the natural, but really it's there's part of my body that it needs to receive a healing, and I'm receiving it. I'm already healed. It's not God holding back his healing. Well, I learned along this path, number one, not to be so hard on myself, because as a faith preacher and a healing evangelist, it's pretty hard to look in the mirror and see that you need to receive a healing and still preach. But the Bible's still the same no matter what I'm going through. And that's the same for you, whatever you're going through. The Word of God is still true about you. Your situation, your battle does not mean that it's over. It doesn't mean that you're stuck there. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. The truth is what the Word of God says about you. And see, what I have learned in my last few years of my personal physical battle is that I've had to keep myself encouraged, because it's easy to give up. And there's some days I give up 1,000 times and still make myself not give up. It's easy to be discouraged, but you can't allow yourself to live there, because if you live there, you stay there. You don't change. My only hope for victory is through this transformation. Maybe that's why I preach it so strong, because that's my hope for victory, to receive my miracle that Jesus has already paid for and to see it manifested. Well, I say that and I open up about that part because it's no different than a brokenness in the natural soul, an emotional brokenness, emotional damage. I've met people and worked with people who have the worst horrible experience in life, been treated and destroyed by other people. And I've watched them fight and through suicidal thoughts. I've watched them fight through giving up because they're so broken in their natural man. Their natural soul is so broken, so twisted that they don't see any hope to get out of it. And the only thing they could read is the Word of God and say, I look in the mirror and I see a nature of Jesus in me, and that's who I am. I am a child of God. But I look in a natural mirror and I don't see it. I don't feel it. Well, that's why you can't give up. That's a lie. See, my body is lying to me, telling me it doesn't work. My body works. The Word of God says I'm whole, I'm healed. I'm not changing my confession or changing my belief. And I'm not giving up on the truth of the Word of God just because it tries to tell me every day something different. Well, that's like many people who are broken in their natural emotions or their natural man. It's like a damage. It's a brokenness. It's not a quick fix. And that's why I'm so strong on inner healing as being the right thing. It's not that you don't help someone if you don't help them to change. Just loving on someone, in other words, hugging on them and letting them remain broken is not inner healing. That's not helping them. The help is that there's a pathway that I'll encourage you to go down with me, where we'll pray and we'll worship and we'll encourage each other to keep reading the Word. That will bring us both into victory. See, that's the real inner healing or inner mortification or outward mortification. That's really what we're after. Now, there are some people that are never going to change. They've decided this is who I am. I'm not changing. And praise God, if they're born again, they can go to heaven. And God may send a preacher or send them to a minister who will be there just to love them because they've given up on the fight, but God still wants them to get to heaven. And that's not inner healing. That's just loving on the brokenhearted. That's just helping the homeless kind of thing. But there's a pathway for every person, no matter how broken you are, no matter what you're battling through, called transformation. I'll read it again, verse 18 of chapter 3. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So I look in a mirror and I can see the new nature in me. And that new nature is inside of that nature is an image of Jesus, whole, complete in his physical form, complete in holiness, complete in His love, His joy, His peace. And now I have a pathway, as we read over in chapter 5, verse 5. Now, He has prepared for us this very thing as God, who has given to us the Spirit as a guarantee, as a down payment. There's my pathway of transformation, that if I pray and I worship God, I meditate the Word, and I put my effort into these things. That's what I loved when Pastor Dave said, talked about praying in tongues. It said, Alan, because I was giving up on fighting my dysfunction. I tried discipline. I tried rebuking it. I tried getting anointed with oil. I tried getting people to cast devils out of me. I resisted it, but it just kept pulling me back. And I know that I have the right to deny it. I have the right to resist it, but that's the part where I was giving up on even trying to resist it, because it kept beating me up. I was born again, but I had this natural soul that was so dysfunctional, it was trying to make me submit. And I remember thinking, you know, I've been fighting this thing and losing and winning and winning and losing and winning and winning and losing and winning and winning and losing. But I can pray in tongues. And so I kept resisting, but I gave effort into praying in tongues. And later on to more worship and to meditate in the Word. And you know what? I began to rise up in the inside, that I began to overcome and mortify the root of my dysfunction. That little 7-year-old that was broken, the 4-year-old that was broken, I was able to mortify the root of him trying to tell me, no, you need this to be happy. No, you need this to be safe. No, you need this to be successful. The Word of God is where I find that truth, not from what I feel or what I think in the natural man. And from the help of the Holy Spirit, I've been able to overcome, and I'm still overcoming. And now I'm overcoming some physical things, and we don't give up. You never give up. Get up and keep going. You never give up. And when I say never give up, if you fight the right fight isn't just to resist and to deny. The right fight is to resist and deny and then pray in the Holy Ghost. Worship God. Fast. Meditate the Word and don't stop. Because that's transforming that image, you into that image. That image actually grows in you like a tree, and that tree will grow forward full, and that inner man becomes complete. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, the inner man comes complete, and there inside of your inner man is the love of Jesus, the knowledge of God, the actual truth and knowledge of God. And from the truth of God in you, you look at the voice that says, this is success. And you hear another voice on the inside say, no, this is what success is. And you mortify that thought. It's the same as a revelation. You know, when you learn something true about God that you didn't know was true, you know, we call it a revelation, but really the proper term for that is a mortification. That you prayed in tongues and you learned something from the Holy Spirit, and that truth is in your inner man, in the mind of your inner man, the mind of your spirit. You learn that truth, and now it's the truth, the real truth of God. And you look over at something that you used to believe that wasn't true, that you thought was true. And you say, oh, I had a revelation. No, that what happened was from that truth on the inner man, you mortified the truth of the lie of the outward man. That was actually a mortification. We call it revelation, but that's just a nicer term than mortification. Inner healing is a good term, but it's just a nicer term of mortification if it's done right. That you actually took a voice of your outward man that said you're broken, that said you're needy, that said you're a victim, that said you're prideful, that said you need to do this or do that, or you needed this to be safe, this to be successful. And you built up that inner man. The image of God grew inside of your inner man. And then there's a truth, a knowledge, the real you, and then you mortify the lie of your past that's trying to tell you who you are. There's no limits for you. Just don't quit. Don't give up. It's easy to give up. I understand. And I laugh sometimes because people say, I just felt like giving up, but you're still here. You haven't given up. Feeling like giving up isn't the same as giving up. Wanting to give up isn't the same as giving up. You're still here. You haven't given up. Be encouraged today. I hope I've encouraged you today. We're on a good path, a path of wonderful victories in our life, one after another, and nothing you are facing or going through, no battle can resist the truth of the Word of God. It's for you. God is true. Everything else is a lie. I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you for spending time with me.